The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. In fact, Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/podcastfree. All lowercase, shopify.com/podcastfree, shopify.com/podcastfree.
Fought looking for the finish.
That's it.
Hit
that's
his it. Own lover.
Very
Rob
nicely done.
Fought with the victory.
Very, very nicely done by Rob Font.
Rob
Font. Welcome to UFC Unfiltered.
Please tell me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I'm made for a fucking podcast. That's dangerous! Listen to me, we're at it!
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. We have a good show today. Michael Chandler, who's a great guest, is going to come on and hang with us the whole time. And Rob Font will be calling in a little later. So two guys I like very much. It's always nice when you have guests that you know and like.
Rob, what's that? Rob Font's next fight is when?
Adrian Yanez has been rumored or has been said. It's possibly 287. I just don't know. I mean, we'll ask him instead of me guessing. Why don't we just ask the man?
I like to have a good time. Hey, Jimmy, yes. How are you? And I want to talk about the fights. I think we're going to wait to talk about the fights with Sweet.
Yeah, Dream. Yeah. Sure. We don't have to mention who had better picks. It's not important.
Well, I think I did horrendous, I think.
No, you were 2-3. I was 3-2.
I can't say enough about Glover. I mean, don't get me wrong, Jamal Hill.
Crazy.
But I'm just saying, I just want to talk about the man as far as the character goes and certain things that were said in the cage after the fight that was just, it just blew me out of the water. And it was just so classy. And we're going to talk about the card in detail when we get Michael Chandler on.
He's coming in now, Matt.
Hi,
Michael.
Oh, there's Michael.
Oh, you guys. How are we?
How's it going?
Were you expecting someone else?
Oh, I didn't know it was going to be you guys. Dang it.
Come on, man. Were you expecting
someone else? No, that's never. Great.
How are you, buddy?
I'm good, man. Just living the dream. How about yourself?
What are you sipping in there? Is that water? Is that
tequila.
Nice.
How is your... What is it really?
It's water. No, it's water. Great. I just worked out and I almost puked, so I need to hydrate.
Did you almost puke from lack of water or from just working out too hard?
Probably a little bit of both. I was doing something with a weighted vest on, and sometimes I have a tendency to make my weighted vest really tight, and I don't really realize how tight it is until set number two, and I'm like,
ugh. Oh, you felt sick.
Yeah. Funny you said that. Today, we had this new student, Greg, nice guy. He did vomit, actually. He fucking vomited. So we have a rule at my school. I don't like when the guys take their geese off. You know, it's a family place. You know, it's a classic.
Sure.
So I don't like guys walking around with their gi tops off. This is my thing. So I see the guy with the gi top off. He's a new student, Greg. Nice guy. So I tell one of my purple belts, you know, let him know about the rules, a little bit of etiquette. So then he goes over, and then the guy looked green. I go, hey, Greg, it's okay. Take your gi. I open the double doors. I put the garbage out there. And there we go.
Don't take your gi off unless you're about to soil it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's a rite of passage, dude. Don't worry. You're fine.
Did he leave or does he stay?
I mean, we were doing the rolling at the end, so I told him, sit out the rest of the matches, you know. Go take a shower when you feel ready, you know. Walk it off. But I assured him that it'll get better and he'll get in better shape because, you know, he's telling me he's running. But you know the deal. Michael, you could be, and I'm sure you've seen this, whether it's wrestling, especially, you know, wrestling, jiu-jitsu, even throwing punches, striking. You could have a marathon runner. You could have a guy who does triathlons. If you're in there and you're holding your breath, whether you're throwing punches or putting on a submission or passing a guard, you're going to get fucking exhausted. So these, they don't know how to breathe. They get tense. And next thing you know, they're not in awful shape, but it's making it worse when you're holding your breath and you don't know how to relax. And so it comes with time.
I've had a problem with it my entire career.
With breathing?
What is that, vomiting? That's fucking great. Hey, I'm sure you've seen the fights the other night.
I did, yes.
Let's talk about, if you don't mind, I'd like to talk about the main event right away, because that was just, I'm talking about the Jamahal Hill winning the title against Glover Teixeira.
Yep.
And first of all, great fucking fight. And how classy, I mean, even though Glover lost every round, somehow you didn't lose any respect for him. Somehow he was still in the fight where you're like, fuck, you know what I mean? He's losing every round, but all right, then he gets a takedown when you're like thinking he's done. And he's taking what a durable guy.
The fact that he survived round two and those head kicks, those repeated head kicks, and the fact that he survived that, it was incredible.
Well, that's part of the mystique of also being a Glover Teixeira type of veteran too. You know, even as they age, even the older that they get, you just know that they've been doing this for so long. You've been doing it for so long. It's ingrained inside of you. Even if you're losing, all of us are on the edge of our seats. Like, Glover might be able to, he might be able to pull it out, you know? So, and obviously we knew the difference in ages, the younger guy taking out the older guy or fighting, challenging the older guy. We've seen that story 1,000 times, but Glover is durable, heart of a champion. And what a way to go out in Brazil.
By the way, Jamahal Hill, incredible job. It's not just Glover's toughness. What great defense and how good he was at getting up and staying off the ground and stuffing takedowns. Like, I think way better than anybody expected.
Yeah. You know, it's a testament to just who they are.
I was impressed with his, like, escaping the bad positions, like mounted. I mean, whatever he put out, and listen, he was putting some strikes on him. He was surprised that Glover was still, he even said after, like, a lot of guys they're not taking those strikes.
Yeah, that punch count was insane.
And for Glover, I'm sure his mount for a big guy, he's got a nice sticky mount and he's more agile than he looks, you know?
Yeah. Yep.
So for him to get out of those bad positions, and he did it technically. He wasn't just exploding out. He was using jiu-jitsu to match Glover just enough to get out. And there was some nice exchanges with that. But I'll tell you, after everything was said and done, the fight, which was, again, a fun fight, what really stuck with me with both gentlemen was what happened after the fight in the cage for both guys. One, for Jamahal Hill, after the fight, showed respect to the corner, and then you seen it just set in. I might get emotional thinking about it. You seen it hit him that he's going to be the champion. And also, he just broke. You seen him melt in his corner's arms.
Yeah.
And then he almost cannot get his composure, because I'm sure he thought about the journey of what he's been through. And he was so emotional that it's hard not to get emotional. It was really something to see. And then on the flip side of that, you got Glover. I heard Glover saying to him when Glover was about to get interviewed after Jamahal Hill got interviewed, Glover goes to him, "Hey, no, wait in here, wait for me." So I heard him, and I'm like, what's that about? Does he want to talk to him more? Something like that? What, does he want to say something to him? But no, it wasn't that at all. It was, and he said it in the post-fight speech in the cage. He said, "Hey, I did not like how everybody treated the champion, Brandon Moreno. You wait back, you walk with me." He's walking with me and showing respect. Dude, that's beautiful.
That was so beautiful.
I mean, what an end to the career. I mean, what he said right there, he wanted him to walk with him so nobody's gonna throw nothing at Glover. He's beloved over there, everywhere, but especially there. Well, that was a beautiful, I don't know, man. Yeah. That was something else.
It's special. And two things. Yeah. Number one, it humanizes us, right? You know, I think we get caught up in the barbaric nature of the sport that we are in. And we see, we watch the fights from the edge of our seats, wanting blood and guts and turmoil. And we fiend for these highlights, but ultimately we're all just a bunch of human beings with heartbeats, just like everyone else sitting in the stands, you know. And it's just so cool to see those moments. And then also at, you know, like you said too, for Jamal Hill, you know, I was actually exchanging some messages back and forth with him, because I listened to him say something a couple weeks ago. I think it was when it got kind of announced, and then it kind of set in, and then it sets in, hey, you know, you're going to fight for the UFC title. Do I deserve this? Am I enough? Am I the guy who's supposed to be in this position, you know? And he's been very vocal about his struggles with self-image, self-concept, self, you know, the self-actualization of, hey, I'm here and I tell everybody I want to be a UFC champion. I want to be the champion, but do I actually believe it? Do I think I actually deserve it? You know? So I just love those moments where you can say, hey, in your greatest moment of opportunity or your darkest hour, am I enough? You know, you're going to get an answer on January 21st is what I said, you know, and you are enough, whether you're a champion or you're not. And so it's really cool to see the humanization of a beloved man like Glover taking in under his arm, you know, out of the arena, making sure he's taken care of. And then also Jamal Hill, who didn't quite know if he deserved to be there, ends up becoming the champion. And it's just, it humanizes us and who we are as athletes. We're not just barbarians. We're a bunch of human beings who put our pants on like everyone else.
Are there times though, when you've stepped in, where you've had that question, like, am I enough? It's just, it's a very human question. And in your mind, you're like, you're not convinced yet when you step into the cage even, or you're just about to start the fight where you're like, I don't know if I deserve this. Has that ever come in right before a fight or during a fight?
You know, luckily once the cage door closes, the switch gets flipped and it's go time. But I mean, every day leading up to that, I woke up this morning wondering if I'm enough as a fighter, as a father, as a husband. And we all do, you know, and I think that's why we are all drawn to sports in general, because they are a metaphor for life, and also fighting in general, because it's a metaphor for life. And I think we're all going through struggles. We're all struggling with, am I enough in all these different areas of my life? And, you know, luckily, the sport of mixed martial arts, or any sport in general, the harder you work, the more success you usually have. But in a sport like mixed martial arts, you could be 1,001 underdog or 1,001 favorite. It might not be your night, you know, you could get caught. So, I struggle with those thoughts all the time. Luckily, when the cage door closes or I make that walk, it's go time and we're good to go. And you're not really thinking anymore. You're just an athlete. You're just a guy with a task at hand. But every day leading up to it, just like every human being.
It's good to have an outlook like that. Are you enough? Asking yourself that. Being a little, I was always hard on myself, where I remember getting my blue belt or my purple belt. I'm like, I don't know. Do I really deserve this type of thing? And meanwhile, I was pretty much tapping a lot of people out and doing well to other people. Yeah. But to me, I'm like, oh God, I think I passed my guard last week. I fucking, you know, but it made me train harder to be like, no, man, I gotta fuck. I don't know. It's not an insecurity, but I was always feeling like that, where I had to put extra work in, where there was no way somebody would be getting more. I would make it. It would make me work harder, having that kind of feeling, but more so than me kind of just feeling like I was the man. I don't know.
No,
yeah, I don't know if I'm making sense, but
no. What you're talking about is that that fine line between humility and also cockiness and confidence, you know, which we all ride the fine line of every single day, you know, because ultimately you want to believe in yourself, especially if you're doing things right. You're living like a champion, you're training hard, you're doing things right. But ultimately you don't want to get too big for your britches, as they say, or, you know, count your eggs before they hatch, you know, type of mentality. And you just keep your nose at the grindstone. But ultimately, yeah, we need to spend more time as human beings patting ourselves on the back and saying, hey, you know what? I do deserve to be more successful than I actually make it up in my mind, and not be so fearful of the bad things happening.
Can you smell when it's bullshit on someone else? Like, can you sense when someone else has those doubts? You might just know it as a fellow fighter, but are there times where you're like, nah, he believes it, but he doesn't really believe it?
You know, the funny thing about it is everybody's wired differently. And some people, and I've said this before, some people literally need to make up in their mind that you smacked their mom and you pushed their kid down. They have to make this this crazy thing up in their mind to get them to a point where they need to fight the other person. And some people really do. I mean, there's people, we all come from different backgrounds. I mean, some people are motivated by the fact that they came from nothing. They don't want to go back to the cockroaches and the dirt floor poor life that they grew up in. And those are things that were born and bred from insecurity and fear and lack and scarcity. And those things still drive them. Whereas other people are completely motivated by maybe it's the platform or maybe it's the money, maybe it's the lights, maybe it's the girls and the attention, whatever it is. Everyone's motivated by different things. So it's hard for me to ever know, even if a guy's motivation is bred from insecurity or a lack of belief in himself, sometimes the lack of belief in themselves makes them fight harder and find more success. So it's actually right. Kind of a crapshoot, you know?
Right. Cause that might be the thing that got them there to begin with is this whole, this lack of contentment, this lack of belief. Sometimes that fuels you and it actually makes you as good as you are.
100%. And we're all motivated by different things.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm excited for Jamal Hill and his play versus, what is it? Uri.
Oh, Prochazka. Yeah.
I think that's going to be a wild fight.
Is he next or is Ankalaev next?
Oh, I'm sorry. Maybe I'm wrong.
I'm guessing. I'm simply asking because Ankalaev fought Blachowicz. I mean, does he get the first shot after that or no?
I don't know how healthy. How is Yuri?
I don't know. I'm anticipating he's going to be off for a while though.
Was he stripped of the title or was it?
He vacated it voluntarily, I think.
Okay. Vacated. So, yeah, that's pretty.
Francis was stripped. I think he was. He just vacated it and goes, "It's going to be a while, guys. So when I'm back, I'll fight." It was really kind of nice.
He did put out a video of him selfie and like in some mountain somewhere with snowflakes bouncing off of his beard, saying, "I'll see you soon." Like that dude's just a
It was pretty cool. Yeah. I think that would be a very exciting matchup, more so than Ankalaev, you know, which would be wild also. Wait, who?
I'm Magomed Ankalaev. Yeah.
Hey, Brandon Moreno, man. Hey, listen, Brazil, come on, do the right thing. I love Brazil. I've been there. The people were nice. They were very, I mean, you show some class. You want it there. You want the UFC there. Brandon Moreno, the nicest. It's not Colby Covington we're talking about here.
Yeah,
it's right. Brandon Moreno. You know what I mean? The guy wants to win the thing and play with his Legos. Really? You're going to throw fucking shit at that kid?
Yeah.
How dare they? That was brutal. Yeah, but let's keep it positive. The fight was great. You know?
Fight was great. And to your point, though, too, I mean, it's not necessarily a privilege to have these fights put on in Brazil, but it takes a lot of logistics, probably a lot more money, a lot more. Like, do you think if the UFC could just be like, hey, we're just going to stay stateside and not go to these other places where we're, you know, essentially it's somewhat of a disrespect to not just Brandon Moreno and his accomplishments, but somewhat the entire sport. But on the other side of it too, I've also been very complimentary of other countries. Obviously us three being Americans, like I bleed red, white, and blue, but you see the way that these other countries get behind their fellow countrymen.
Yep.
You know, you don't necessarily need to be throwing stuff at them, but it really is awesome to see the passion and the zeal that they have for their fellow countrymen. But yeah, throwing things at, like you said, Brandon Moreno just wants to go win a title and go play with his Legos, man.
That's it. Anybody else? I mean, come on, he's one of the best, nicest guys. But I'll tell you what was so, first of all, very impressive. I mean, what I was impressed with even more is that Figueroa, he looked on. He didn't look off. He looked dangerous. From the second he shot in and he had that neck wrapped up, I just thought Brandon Moreno outfought him. I thought he fought excellent. And Figueroa just couldn't get his footing on him. He was just behind. He was just behind the whole time.
I thought he looked a little – not – This is maybe a little off or sluggish. I kind of felt that. Maybe I'm wrong, but I felt that watching him, and it didn't surprise me at the end when he goes, I'm going up in weight. I thought maybe the weight cut was a bit much for him, but I thought he looked a little behind. But then again, maybe it was just Moreno fighting so well. But I thought he looks a little bit sluggish. He doesn't look like he's, defending the belt. He didn't seem to have that to be as on as I've seen him.
Yeah.
Before.
Well, the good thing is I do think, you know, he's going to be a force to be reckoned with at 135, you know, just to not have to suck those extra 10 pounds of water weight down, which obviously he's, you know, he always looks like he's visibly struggling to make weight, you know, which is the worst part about the sport that we love. But ultimately, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what his future looks like at 135.
Yeah, and Moreno was fighting very well. It was a shame that it ended the way it did. I was surprised the judges had it. All three judges had a 2-1 Moreno. Like, all three judges on that card had a 2-1, where I thought it was 3-1 for Brandon Moreno. So that fight was not as over as it, I guess, seemed to people who were watching it. But that fight was closer than, I guess, we thought.
Well, you're fixing that. You know, Brandon Moreno wants the headline of pay-per-view in Mexico City is all I know.
Yeah.
That's what I heard.
Yeah, that's what he said, too. He said to Pantoja.
Yeah.
Is that you're saying? Yeah. That he was next. He's like, I promise you're next. So, but we'll see.
It's exciting. And I'm happy for that kid, you know. And Figueredo, look, it's not like he went in there and looked off. I didn't think he looked off. I mean,
no.
The guillotine would have finished most people off. But I'll tell you who looked fucking money is Gilbert Burns. What's going on there, man? I felt
I'll tell you what's going on there. That's the man, dude. That's the dude right there. He is my favorite fighter. Buddy. He's my favorite fighter.
Yeah. Oh, hey, you're friends, right?
He's my friend and training partner. But ultimately, too, if I didn't know him, I mean, half the reason he's my favorite fighter is because I do know him and I see how he lives. I see how he trains. I see how he loves his wife and his boys. And when you're around the sport as long as I have been, or like, you know, Matt, when you're around it, you see guys, and you're like, man, a lot of success doesn't exactly live the champion lifestyle. You know, you see things. Gilbert Burns is A+, checks every single box of leader, champion. Like, he's the dude, man. Awesome.
I mean, he was just on point. I mean, on point. And then the arm triangle, just fine. Maybe that was in my head because I taught that this morning. Just how could that be a coincidence? So I mean, Neil Magny's a well-rounded guy. It's not like he doesn't know how to fight on the floor, you know. Yeah. And I don't know, just on all fronts, he's just on. And I love the who doesn't love that call out. Yeah. Who doesn't love that call out? Who doesn't want to see that? Him versus Colby Covington.
Yeah.
I think that's the fight to make.
Yep.
I think that's exciting. That would be a fun fight. Because I love Gilbert's jiu-jitsu.
No, Gilbert, you know what I mean? And Gilbert, yeah, the way that he threw that right hand straight into the body lock, lifted him up, took him down. I mean, and Neil Magny's what, 8 foot tall? You know, so not exactly easy to take down. Like, he's a tall drink of water. Body lock, picks him up, slams him, just control on the ground. And he was very patient. That's the one thing about Gilbert, man. He's able to go from pit bull to completely just methodical from second to second. So he's good, man. And yeah, him versus Colby, I think that's definitely the fight to make. Obviously, there's some stuff going on behind the scenes with Colby and Masvidal with their, you know, fight that they had at the
– with the legal stuff, you mean, yeah.
Yeah, legal stuff. So who knows how long that's going to be or whatnot, but I think that's a fight to make.
I wanted to ask you guys, too. I'm actually asking our producer – the Lauren Murphy, Jessica Andrade fight, which Andrade just looked unstoppable. I've never seen her look better. And Lauren Murphy, just so durable and unwilling to quit. I felt that fight should have been stopped. I didn't think maybe necessarily at the second, but I thought they should have given her a short leash in the third. And I forget the ref's name, and that's what I'm trying to ask, because there was something else. I want to know what other fights he did, because I thought there was something else. I'm like, that's the same fucking ref. Maya. What are the, I don't know how to say his first name, but Maya's his last name. And Jake, what are the fights did he do? For some reason, I thought there was something else he did. What did you guys think about how they should have stopped that fight in the third?
Go ahead, Michael, if you want to take it.
I refrain from, you know, it's hard, obviously, as a fighter to say that fights should be stopped. And, you know, Matt, you know, it's like you're back there in the back. They come back. They say, hey, I'm, you know, Joe, I'm going to be your referee. One thing I always say is, hey, man, don't stop the fight. I'm always in the fight. Don't stop the fight. You know, you, as fighters, that's what we want. But ultimately, yeah, when you're watching as a fan or you're watching as a spectator, you know, it is tough. But I mean, so I'm always reluctant to refrain from kind of saying, hey, it should or should not have been. But you definitely don't want to see someone take that much damage, especially when it was that dominant. And Jessica Andrade is an absolute pit bull and just keeps coming. So you're like, you know, it's gonna get worse before it gets better.
Didn't someone from her corner, though, and that's kind of – wasn't it in between rounds, Matt? I don't know who the person was. Weren't they saying, hey, can we stop this? Somebody was saying that right outside the cage.
You might be thinking of John Hackelman at the last round of Glover Teixeira.
No, I'm almost positive. I'm thinking
I'm way off.
During the Andrade fight.
John Hackelman did say that, though.
I'm thinking of somebody standing outside the – cage, and for some reason I'm thinking it was the Lauren Murphy fight. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you're right. Did he say that outside of Glover's cage? Outside the cage of Glover?
He was standing on the outside, and it did happen with the Glover fight in the final round. I remember that.
Maybe I'm mixing it up. But okay.
What is he saying? Oh, he's pronouncing the guy's name.
He's pronouncing it, man. Attaboy, Jake.
Osiris.
Osiris.
But yeah, man. I know what it's like being a fighter in there. I haven't had too many fights like that, but one fight I had with Carol Parisi, and I got tied in the second round, and I definitely took some shots, and the doctor asked how I was, and then I remember Longo saying something, and I remember definitely having choice words with him, like, don't you fucking dare. And he's like, all right, calm down. Easy, dude, yeah. But I'm on your side. No, but I remember that. But that's the fighter in you that doesn't want it stopped.
Yeah.
And let me add, it wasn't like what was going on with fucking Lauren Murphy. That was... Yeah. I think there's a time when you have to make some people are just too brave for their own good. Yeah. Lauren Murphy, I mean, you don't want to see anybody take shots like that. That could shorten your career by a few years. You know what I mean? You gotta know, even if it's like towards the end of the round, my wife going, even did they stop it now? That's another how many punches she's not gonna take. You know what I mean? It's true. I mean, it's almost like you let it go so far, let it get through the rest of it. I don't know. I don't think so. I think one more punch should be too much because she's not fucking defending herself.
Yeah.
I mean, not to a draw Jessica's credit, not attacking Lauren. Lauren, you know.
I just think back to Yamasaki. Remember Mario Yamasaki against Cachoeira against Shevchenko?
Yeah, and you missed this before every match.
I literally would rather see someone do this before the fight.
Exactly.
But when he said something about, well, I want to let a fighter go out on their shield, he said something like that, and someone said, well, that's not your job. Your job is to protect somebody who's going to be too proud to quit. Even Glover said about himself, he goes, I guess I'm too tough for my own good. You know, because you see guys getting hurt. Because, you know, you guys, of course, you fight. That's what you do. You guys never quit. I mean, I would quit very early on. It wouldn't take a lot to get me to ask this to be stopped.
Yeah, it's tough because we've seen it too. Guys or gals getting beat up so bad, and then we're all just one punch away, you know.
Yep.
So it's so hard, and it's all subjective, and it's also it's tough to be hard on the referees because the referees are making crazy split second decisions at one time. But obviously, there's blatant times where you're like, wait a second, that one was a little bit,
right,
you know. But it's one part of the, like we talked about, the judging. Open judging, open scorecards, whatever you call it, referees. There's a little, you know, kind of a dark cloud going on there where it's so subjective and it's so tough. So you're almost just like, well, we're either going to do nothing about it or something crazy about it, you know?
Well, you know, it's bad when DC is yelling, stop the fight.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure it was DC yelling for the ref to stop it. So, you know, when we're watching on TV and it's brutal, when he's right there hearing that and shots and whatnot, DC's a professional. I don't think you would try to get the referee's attention for no reason. And the rest of the referee's face was just sitting there just watching like he's watching a fucking movie. I'm like, what is this? Is this guy awake? What the fuck's going on?
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters. Both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. In fact, Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/podcastfree. All lowercase, shopify.com/podcastfree, shopify.com/podcastfree.
Boy, did I get Paul Craig, Johnny Walker wrong. I thought Paul Craig, Johnny Walker was really, really, I mean, to have that kind of power with your leg in the air.
That was, was Johnny Walker on a skid? Was he on a, I can't remember.
He had gotten knocked out. I think Jamal Hill was that his last fight?
Yeah, but I got that one wrong too. But yeah, watching that, like you said, and just the ability of his leg up and him just to go bang, 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 bang. And then just, he just kept the bead right on him whenever, you know, Paul fell, and then it started going back fist. Like
no skid, by the way, Michael. He was, Kutalaba was his last fight. He's won two in a row now. He had lost two before then.
Okay. But yeah, I just know he came in with such hype, you know, that it's, you know, you just never know. But this was a statement, you know, in Brazil. He still pulled out the worm, didn't break his shoulder. So that was good.
Yeah. Well, he didn't fall into it either. I think he's kind of going back into it like a little smarter, like as opposed to just collapsing.
Yeah, that was very smart. He's very smart.
Yeah. He looked really good. Very, very impressive to when your leg gets caught to be able to throw that punch and to keep your balance. And then once he went down to kind of the back hammer fist, that was it. But yeah, he looked really good. So hopefully he'll be fighting again soon. Shit, I don't know what he's ranked.
I Paul Craig, though, I thought like if he could weather the storm in the first round, Johnny Walker is always so explosive. And you know, that first round is when he's the most dangerous. I thought maybe if Paul Craig could weather stuff that first round, he's got these long limbs and he's so good at getting those arm locks and triangles. And I just thought maybe if he jumped the guard, he'll get him, but he didn't even get a chance, man. Wow. That was something else. I was really impressed with that.
Yeah. And how about the Bonfim brothers? Two brothers on the same night, both, I believe, with first round finishes. Am I correct? No, one had a first round finish. The other, I think Ismael did not have a first round finish. They both looked incredible.
Yeah, the flying knee of whichever Bonfim brother.
Second round. Over Terrence McKinney, yeah.
Yeah. He was on with us last week, Terrence McKinney. And Terrence McKinney's a killer himself.
So is Neil Magny. We're terrible luck. We had Neil and Terrence on the same show. We suck.
Dang it. I'm going to wrap myself in bubble wrap.
Yeah, don't put this out. A lot of guys are on here that win. I'll just put that out.
Terrence McKinney, obviously, his story, his backstory, where he's come from. I mean, you're going to win some. You're going to lose some. You're going to, you know, he was in good spirits after the fight. I saw him and his opponent have a drink together or whatever, you know. I mean, that dude's, you know, it's kind of like I feel like his mentality is he's fighting on borrowed time. This is his second chance at life, you know. So it's he's winning no matter what. Win, lose, or draw, he's winning.
Like, yeah, this is all gravy. When you go through an experience like that where you know death is really close, you're like, yeah, this is all luck. Even the bad things, like if life was fair, I wouldn't even be experiencing this. You know, so yeah, maybe it does give you almost a freedom.
Well, for the people at home, Jimmy, you want to elaborate on what happened to him?
I believe he overdosed, or he had some kind of a thing where he was in an ambulance. It was drug related. I think, did his heart stop, or he died twice? I don't know if I'm confusing him with someone else.
Yeah, it's something like that. I think he definitely died at least once. And yeah, it was, you know, you're talking about obviously health. Dying. You're also talking about, you know, charges and police and being caught up in all of that stuff, which could lead so quickly one bad decision to the rest of your life not being here for sure, not on earth or fighting in the UFC.
Right.
So just to see his flatline twice.
Wow.
So man, just for him to be able to even be here is a comeback story of a lifetime.
Yeah, man. No wonder why after the fight, you know. He didn't seem in bad spirits. He's doing shots with that. His opponent on a beach in Rio. Come on, man. Could be worse. Shit.
Could be a lot worse.
Right. Yeah. Although if you went through that with drugs, drinking probably wouldn't be the best way to go. You know.
Also, besides Glover retiring and what a great career Glover had. Glover
sure did.
Marcio Shogun Rua.
Yeah.
You know, Shogun's a legend in his sport. He's been fighting forever, man. I remember watching him in Pride being like, whoa. And, you know, what a fight. I mean, that Ihora, how do you pronounce that? Pateira?
I am looking. I have to open it up. I would say Pateira, yeah.
I mean, wow. I don't think he won over the crowd afterwards. I like his fucking speech. I don't know if you remember that.
I don't remember. What did he say afterwards? Was that about Ukraine? He was talking about Ukraine, right?
I'm Ukraine. I'm here to fucking do this and that. The Brazil is all pissed. The legend. He just beat that legend.
But didn't he say nice things about Shogun? He showed him a lot of respect after.
I believe he did afterwards. Yeah. Hey, man, I like that foot sweep to the head control. And he was, listen, show somebody respect before and after. But he was there. It's his job to get done what he did. And, you know, Shogun, I'm glad he's taking off. It's time. I mean,
sure.
You know, you hate to see guys, you know. You could just tell if there are a few strikes are thrown. It's like, all right, maybe this guy got hit enough. Like over his lifetime.
21 years. Yeah, it's a long career.
21 years. And he gave us so many great fights, so many great moments, and, you know, just an awesome career. And, you know, it's tough to walk away, or tough for us to watch him have to walk away like that after a loss like that. But it's part of the nature of the beast that we love, I guess.
On short notice. Bruno Ferreira.
Yep.
Oh my goodness. First of all, Gregory Rodriguez, AKA RoboCop.
Yep.
He didn't look bad. He looked good. He was store. I mean, that one, who's going to find whose chin first? Because they were, I mean, he was, Gregory Rodriguez was stalking him. RoboCop was stalking him. And it's like he was trying to, like, RoboCop get the target on the thing. And he was trying to get the red target on fucking...
On the Hulk.
Hulk, that's right. Hulk. RoboCop was Hulk. But that straight left, it was like, it was right from the shoulder. It was like, boom. It was beautiful.
Yeah.
And RoboCop didn't know what happened.
And this was his... sorry, Matt. Wasn't this his debut in the UFC? He won the Contender Series. This was his first fight in the UFC.
Debut. Yeah. What a debut.
Hey, also, were you on vacation? Where is Tulum? They put that in the prep sheet. I don't know where it is.
It's Mexico.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you fly into Cancun, and then it's like an hour drive off of Cancun. We stayed at the Conrad. It's called Riviera Maya, I guess, is the area. We just hung out there. And
is it a Hard Rock?
No, it's so Conrad is owned by Hilton. Okay. But it's a new hotel they put there, very private. So me and my wife just hung out and did nothing because we haven't been on a vacation together in like 2 years. So
Conrad, they probably named it after Conrad Hilton. I think that's her brother.
Maybe.
But you liked it?
No, it was great. Yeah, it was very, very private. It was on like a cove. So you got the beach, but it wasn't like a long beach that you could, you know, get lost on, or there's a ton of people. It wasn't a public beach. It was just a tiny little cove. So it was very private, very serene. Did nothing but hang out.
Nice.
You worked out a little bit out there.
I worked out a little bit.
Did you bring your kids, or did just you guys go?
Just my wife and I. But we already are trying to book a trip for March for my son Haps, my 6-year-old. His birthday today. He's 6 years old today.
Oh, happy birthday!
Yeah. So we're gonna try to bring him out in March for his spring break. So should be good. Oh, he deserves it.
That's great, dude. Yeah. And how's your other boy doing?
Oh, he's crushing it. He's 9 months. He was 9 months old like 3 days ago. So
okay.
nine months, 6 years. We're just family's growing. And the
how
boys
does a 6-year old handle it? Like when I was 7, my sister was born, and you get like that weird little jealousy because we're not like a year apart. Does he have that, or how is he taking it?
He does, yeah, because he was basically an only child for almost 5 years, you know. Right. So it was just me and Bree and him. For 5 years, it was his show. You know, he was the one and only. It was all of his cars, his toys, his airplanes, his all that stuff. Now, all of a sudden, he's got a 9-month-old brother who has just started crawling about a month or two ago. So now he's crawling over, messing with his toys. We've had a couple blowouts and a couple negotiations. You know, like, hey, what we're gonna do? Okay, he's a baby. He's got a little baby brain. He doesn't know what he's doing yet.
Right.
You know, he's like, I don't understand why he wants to mess with my stuff. It's like, well, he's a baby. He doesn't even know what he's doing, you know? So
yeah, that's so cute though, man.
And by the way, he's 6, but he's going like, look, I wasn't like that at his age. You're already looking
exactly.
back.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, I wouldn't do that if I was him. And I'm like, well, actually, you used to pull coffee cups off of this and do like, you used to do all kinds of stuff, dude, but you don't remember.
Now 6 is around the age that you get them 6, 7, 8. You get my. That's I started my kids around like 8 years old going to the school. You haven't doing anything yet, or are we easing into the training?
So we are. He plays basketball. We got him in soccer, football. He's done some BJJ here in town a couple drop in classes.
Yeah.
I might have him do a couple drop in like wrestling practices too. The big thing is at that age too. You know, it's like it's almost like you got to play some games and do like some live. You got to do some live goes more than the slow. you know, their attention span of a gnat. So you got to, you know, just let them roll around.
I got all my three daughters. They're going later on. A fun, a nice warm up, adding some cartwheels, some handstands and stuff like that. Get some technique in there. A game at the end after the live training. They look forward to the end, having fun in the beginning. They'll get their technique in, especially if you do some flow drills.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, my youngest, who's nine now. Sorry, I got three. I'll tell you, she was timid as a bird when she first got there, Jimmy. Like you, like a little timid little bird. And then, sorry, Jimmy. But now, you ask her a favorite part of training, of jiu-jitsu, the live training. So it's great, man. Oh, it's it. Because it's fun. It's fun. Kids like to grapple. They love that. You know?
It's what they do.
You would too, Jimmy. You would too.
I know. I got to get my sleep fixed. I'm a bad sleeper. I think I've yapped this about you before. I have sleep apnea. I just get a couple hours a night. So I have no energy ever, but whatever. Jimmy, your kids love it though.
Speaking of bad sleeping, we like this is unfiltered.
I'm going to get a raised bed. I want a bed that goes up. Like, you know, Jimmy, so I can. Yeah, good. Sorry.
See you in like a little coffin or something, you little weirdo. What are you doing? I had a
toilet seat over it.
Give sleeping. Oh, Jimmy.
Yes,
my ulcerative colitis. This is what I got to do. I got to stay with nuts and seeds. My fucking stomach. I've been up so much at night. Blood. Pushing. Oh, man, there's something in there. Something's blocking something. I'm pushing on my belly. Sorry, you have to hear this, Michael. Pushing on my belly. What the fuck? After all, shoot. I don't know what is going on. I got to see a doctor, Jimmy. But that ulcerative colitis. So people think that I went a little bit overboard with that fucker over at Universal. When you got ass issues and you're going through the daggers coming out of you and someone's fucking with you at a stall, like, you know what I mean? So last night, dude, an hour and a clip in the bathroom. Anyway.
You got to be careful with nuts and stuff. Nuts and seeds can cause diverticulitis, too. I mean, Brock had that at one point. You got to watch all that shit gets caught in those little pockets. It can really fuck you up. That's my medical talk.
You got to chew it up real good.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, man. That's what you got to do. But I got some ass issues. But other than that.
Me too. I like fingers in it.
I taught two classes. What'd you say?
You said you have ass issues. I said, me too. I like fingers in it. Go ahead,
man. Yeah. Mike, he's going to leave. He's going to leave us. And he's
sorry, Michael.
No, we're good.
But hey, man. I just yesterday went out with my family to a furniture store because at my school, like Mondays, Fridays, I do the 7 a.m. I like to take a little nap because I get up at 5 to go there because I teach at noon too. So I'm like 45 minutes, whatever. And I got this couch, which is not firm. This is not a great story, but listen. So I went yesterday, firm-ass couch. I'm getting it delivered in February. So now my back's not going to be hurting. Maybe we should get to some more MMA action.
I know. We really are like two old hens. Oh, I'm shitting blood on the toilet. My back is so sore.
Talk about your stool and the firmness or lack thereof. Of your back.
I know, but here's what's worse. I'm actually listening. I'm interested.
Yeah. You're like, my sleep apnea.
Poor Michael. He's like, I can be playing ball with my kid right now. What is going on? What is going on here?
When are you fighting again? Do you have any prospects?
So I don't have any prospects. We are, you know, kind of waiting around to see what happens. Everybody knows who I want to fight, who I think the biggest fight would be. So we'll see. I know guys are getting booked up. Obviously Gaethje, Fazeev,
great co-main.
I saw some rumblings of Charles Oliveira, Beneil Dariush, possibly in April. So there's a lot of talk being of guys fighting in the lightweight division, but nobody talking about me fighting. Cause I think it's a foregone conclusion, hopefully, of who we're going to end up getting matched up against this summer.
I would love to see that.
Only for the layman, people at home listening, we know we're talking about Conor McGregor.
Sure.
I want the world to know. I want as many people to know as possible because when people hear about Conor McGregor versus Michael Chandler, it's fucking exciting. It sells itself because the way you guys compete, you guys go forward, and you're never in a boring fight. And it's one of those things where You're both very good on the mic, but I don't even think it's necessary for this fight.
Yeah.
I think this fight sells itself. And I can't think of anybody who would not want to see this fight.
Yeah, that's, I'm not going to sit here and try to sell it too much, but obviously, I know I know everybody knows what happens when I step inside the octagon. Everybody knows what happened, who Conor is and who he has been forever and how fast pace he fights. I mean, you're talking about two dudes that are just ready to get off of a leash as soon as that bell rings. Obviously, the lead up, the build up would be awesome. And yeah, that's why I came over to the UFC. I wanted fights of epic proportions. I wanted big stages, big platforms, big stakes, the brightest lights possible. And, you know, Conor brings that. He's the biggest combat sports guy, you know, biggest combat sports name that we've seen possibly in a long time, you know, possibly.
I want to talk about Conor being nasty and talking shit to you later, but we'll talk about that later. All right. We got a guest, another guest. Rob Font in the waiting room.
Oh, let's bring Rob Font in.
Well, let's bring him in. Let's
bring him in.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. In fact, Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/podcastfree. All lowercase, shopify.com/podcastfree, shopify.com/podcastfree.
There he is. What's up, Rob?
What's going on? How you doing, guys?
How's the New England cartel doing over there?
We're good, man. We're kind of like fighting the snow right now, but we're good. We're hanging in there. Calvin's in Vegas right now, rehabbing his knee. You know, he's with the PI and the team over there. And then I'm out here with Coach Tyson and the rest of the boys, just about to get ready for this next session at 3:30. But yeah, we're hanging in there.
We heard a rumor. A little bit of a rumor. It makes me think of that song. I heard a what is it? What is it? I heard a rumor. Ooh, ooh. I heard a rumor. They say you got a broken heart. Remember that? Anyway.
No. Listen, never heard that.
That's a great song. A great song, Jimmy. I apologize to all three of you about that. We heard a rumor about a certain fight that might be happening with you. Adrian Yanez. Is this true or not? Look at this. Look at his face. Let's see. Is it true? Are you fighting Adrian Yanez?
I mean, we got a contract, we got the offer, we're just waiting on a location, you know. We're just waiting on the location. They're saying it might be, from what I'm hearing, it might be Miami or Brooklyn, but they haven't locked it down yet. But they gave us an offer, we accepted it. I'm pretty sure they accepted it on the other side too. Just waiting on that location.
There you go. Both of those are great locations as well, and obviously you being a East Coast guy, so that's great.
Hey, what's going on, Mike? How you doing, champ?
I'm good, man. Good to see you, brother.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It'd be cool, man. Obviously, Brooklyn would be an easy drive, and I used to live in Tampa, Florida, for a little bit, so it'd be pretty cool to go back and fight in Florida.
Wait, Miami is? Would this be? Have they done events in Miami before?
I don't know. I don't think
I can't think of one that was in Miami before.
I'm not sure.
I feel like they might have done one, because I always thought, why wasn't George Masvidal on it?
But I know they've done Orlando, right? Then Orlando.
Maybe they didn't do Miami. Maybe they were just talking about Miami, because obviously, you know, it takes a little while to get these fights
sure
scheduled every now and then. But I don't think they've done one in Miami, honestly.
Rob, do you care where you fight? I mean, some guys have preferences. Some guys don't like to travel. Some guys prefer to be away from the family because a lot of the noise is not with them. How do you feel?
Yeah, I like to travel. I would rather prefer just keep it in the States, not travel too far out. You know, Vegas is always good to me. I love traveling to Vegas. Brooklyn is an easy trip. And then obviously Miami would be another easy trip too. I just don't want to take those long, long, like the Australia trips or like the, you know, like that Moscow trip I took with Calvin was rough. So if I had a choice, I would say, you know, I'm like 50-50 on the travel. Like, keep it in the States, keep it longer than, no longer than, I would say 6 hours, and then I'm good to go.
Yeah. Then it's just another hotel room and another weight and another everything everywhere. You're like, man, I don't know where I'm at. I don't even know where I'm at.
And then again, you start getting confused, sleep's all jacked up. So it's cool. It's a cool experience as far as like traveling afterwards and getting to see, you know, wherever you're at. But for work, it's kind of like it does throw a little hiccup into the mix.
And we got a message from Jake, the producer. No wonder we didn't remember. It was 2003, the last time they hosted Miami. It was UFC 42. It was Matt Hughes and Sean Sherk. That was the, I guess, the main. Yeah, Matt.
I'm not saying.
Were you going to cheer?
I wish everybody well is what I do because it's positivity.
Yes.
Something on my beard.
So you went to Moscow.
Yeah, yes. I went to Moscow.
I know, but when you were there, do you go out and do anything? How hard is it when you're in a place like Moscow to just stick to the schedule? Because it's like not a place you're going to be able to get back to anytime soon.
Yeah, basically, it's you know, you're cooped up in the hotel. The way we do it is until as far as being there as far as a corner and help, we're just there to the weigh-in day. Once he makes weight, we kind of as a team kind of like go out on Friday night, check it out, whatever. And that's about it, really. So it's not much traveling. Depending on the fighter's obligations, if he's busy, we might sneak out during the week, but really it's just kind of like Friday night.
And you don't stay afterwards for a couple of days?
So we didn't do it in Moscow, but like Vegas is a couple of days easy. Texas, last time Calvin fought, we stayed a couple of days extra in Texas. So yeah, we did it a couple of times, but as far as like Moscow or Brazil, we haven't hung out too long.
Oh, okay.
Now, let me ask you, Adrian Yanez, now he's undefeated in the UFC, and now he's looking at you, Rob, and he's looking at you, Rob Font, and he's saying, that's the biggest name, the biggest fucking name I'm going to fight today, the biggest name, and he's on a skid. He lost two fights in a row. It's my fucking time right now. That's what he's saying.
100%.
I'm not saying that, but I think that's what I would say. What are you? Let's hype this shit up. What are you going to tell this youngster?
Man, I'm not even going to call him a youngster. I'm going to call him a legit contender. He's again 5-0, putting the work that he's done. This is a dangerous fight. You know, I feel like I'm right back in there with a big name. You know, he's hungry. He's got momentum. You know, when you start winning, you know, things start happening for you. So it's he got the momentum. He's I am on a losing streak, so that I say he has to have some extra confidence for him. But for me, you know, I think obviously like I'm coming in there super prepared. I think I might have rushed my last fight, getting in there and jumping in there and not properly having a full camp. That won't happen again. And I have enough time. I think obviously I have the experience, but you know that doesn't mean much when you're kind of you know in there with a knockout artist like Adrian Yanez. You know, he's putting guys away, he's finishing fights. And so yeah, this is a tough fight. I'm excited. I know he's excited. You know, in the perfect world, I do go in there and make him look young, but I'm not gonna make it sound like it's gonna be easy, you know?
And we talked before a little bit before you're on about mentality going in and the way guys will feel not good enough or just the mentality. You've dropped a couple of fights, but again, they were both good fights against great fighters. So it wasn't like you lost to bad guys. How does your mentality, has it changed at all or how do you handle that?
I feel confident. Like even in the losses, I feel like I'm winning the rounds until the last like minute or a couple of seconds in mostly the last two fights. You know, so I'm winning the rounds. I'm outpointing guys. I'm just, you know, it seems like it just kind of like, I just kind of fuck it up at the end of the round, you know, and you know, these guys take advantage of it. But I'm still going to go out there. I'm going straight at him. I'm going to get my hands busy. I'm going to feint on him. I'm going to be moving on him and just getting out there and just trying to create openings as creative as possible, you know, and just get in there and just make him make mistakes and capitalize on them. But, you know, as far as the mindset going in, I'm not down on myself. I'm super confident. I know the mistakes we made in the last fight. I know the, you know, one of the bigger mistakes I made in the Aldo fight. Plus I know what we did as far as for the Cheeto fight. So it's kind of like I won't let those happen again. Obviously easier said than done, but I'm here. I feel like, you know, they're giving this kid a shot and my job is to make sure that he doesn't capitalize on this opportunity.
Congratulations. Your daughter was born in December?
Yeah, December 6th. Yeah, so it was pretty cool, man. I finally got a daughter, man. Wasn't even planning on having kids. It just kind of just happened, and it was a blessing.
Oh, she's your first baby?
Yeah, first baby, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
How is it? Is it scary?
Man, honestly, like Catherine made it look pretty easy. You know, she was still moving. She was working out during her pregnancy. And then as far as the labor went, it went pretty smooth. And then now it's kind of like she's always been around kids ever since we were younger, always babysitting like nieces and nephews. And her mother owns a daycare. So she's been around kids. So it's just like almost like it was too easy for her. So like, it's not a big difference for what I'm doing as far as like training and stuff like that. But the scary part is kind of like now, you know, I can't mess up. You know, I gotta like level up and kind of like make sure like I'm on point with everything. And I do look at things differently now. And there's a little bit more, you know, sense of urgency, a little more focus, and a little bit more of a, all right, you know, this is more than just me and Kathy, you know, in this picture now.
You said you never expected having a daughter or a child. Did you plan on having kids?
I mean, yes and no. Like, we talked about it. Like, at first, it was kind of like it just wasn't like one of those, like, oh, yeah, I'm definitely having kids by this age. I'm getting married by this age. It was kind of like just went with the flow with it. It kind of like almost happened on accident. We were in the Bahamas not too long ago, just hanging out, and it just happened. And then it wasn't like a, oh, shit. It was like, all right, this is the next chapter. And we just went with it. Like, not went with it, but like, accepted it, and it was like this is what we want to do. It's not like an accident. It's not like a freak accident that just kind of happened. It just like we weren't planning on it, and then a couple of wild nights with some Bahama mamas, man. You know, like,
yeah, man. Well, that's great, man. Hey, I have three daughters, bro. It's the most beautiful thing, you know. And it gets better and better. Is all I got to tell you. I got my oldest is 13, 11, and 9. Yeah, I got my girls training tonight. It's fun. That's it gets awesome. Better and it gets better and better. I love it. Yeah. It's just so much fun. And each age has its own, you know, special moment.
Yeah. It's pretty cool, man. Like she like it's like she has like these little like she smirks, she smiles, like she's communicating with her. She lets us know when she's hungry. She has like these little signs that like she lets us know when she's hungry and she's tired, and she's pretty like I guess I'd say regimented. Like she hangs out for about 30, 40 minutes, looks around, and then she shits, eats, and right back down. And it's consistent, you know, like it might be 3-4 hours, but it's consistent. And like, she's been like, it's just like been cool just seeing her personality and like, just like even seeing like a baby that at that age have some type of personality. It's kind of like it's blowing my mind. I'm like, what are you smiling about? Like, what are you laughing at right now? Like she's kind of like just laying there sleeping and she's giggling. It's kind of like, what can you possibly be laughing at right now? And it's just that's like funny. Seeing that already at, you know, like a month and a couple of days. It's like, it's crazy, but.
That's beautiful.
And you get to a point, I guess, when you're going to have kids where you're like, yeah, I'm ready. Like, and I don't have kids, but I mean, you're doing main events. Like you're like, your career is established. You're not brand new, not sure where your next check's going to come from. You know that you're a legit fight. You know what I mean? Like you have a life and you can support a baby.
Yeah. And I think, I guess timing worked out too. Like, you know, we're in a good spot as far as like in our relationship, we're in a spot as far as my career. So it just worked out. And I have a rock star as a partner. And I'm excited, man. I'm excited.
Got that momentum, man. Like you said, man, that extra little bit of why, that extra little bit of motivation. It's not just Rob and Catherine anymore. You know, it's like that extra. You know, we as men always too, and fighters too, we always want to feel like Superman, right? We want to get after it. We want to be seen. We want to be like Superman. And then we realize, man, we got two eyes like looking at us, you know, see you as Superman. And like you said, ride that momentum, that extra little bit of wave, the extra little bit of why going into this fight too.
Yeah.
And even going back to, you know, when we talk about, because I always say this too, man, when you're fighting the best guys in the world, you're going to win some, you're going to lose some, you know, you just keep on. You keep on going, you know, your last two fights were against two absolute top guys in the world. So keep on getting.
I appreciate that, man. It's kind of like it just like woke me up. I don't know. It's like a shot of espresso, like bang, right? Let's go. And like I left today, I woke her up or she woke up. I gave her the bottle, got my bag ready and left. And I was like, I got the training in, and like I'm like almost speeding just to get back because I just want to see her. You know, it's like little things like that to where, all right, like I'm focusing, I'm lasered in, not like rushing the workout, but I'm like getting it done and just making sure, okay, now let's get back home and get that job done. And it's, I feel like it's just kind of keeping me on point, you know, instead of just kind of going through the workout, maybe go to Starbucks outdoors and hang out and maybe do this or do that. Like now it's like, it feels like everything is just like super regimented, getting on like on time. And I just feel like awake, if that makes sense. I don't know. Oh,
man, that's good. I love it.
Motivating.
Man.
Where are you now, Rob? Are you home?
Yeah, I'm at the house right now.
I love what you have behind you. I love the, all those posters are great.
All the posters. We got my debut in the shadow box. I still got to kind of hang them up and all that stuff, but like we're slowly getting there.
You like having career mementos and stuff like that? You save all that stuff.
Oh yeah, 100%. I know I do. I know Catherine saves everything from like the corner passes to like she has all my tickets, like all my local fights from my amateur fights to obviously now. She keeps everything. So that's like nice. I try to like keep everything, but it's not like her. Like I'll be hanging out in the house and I'll see something like, how did you get this? And like it'll be from like a couple of years ago, but she's a little pack rat.
How about you, Michael? Do you save that kind of stuff? Do you have all the stuff from when you were first fighting professionally?
Yeah, I actually have a lot of, I have all my fight shorts and gloves and all that kind of stuff saved, posters. I don't have it all like framed and ready to be hung up yet, but I've got it all kind of packaged up in bags and stuff, ready to eventually put them all in shadow boxes and all that kind of stuff. Or, you know, maybe someday auction them off for charity or whatnot, you know? So yeah, it's kind of just the long career and all the cool things that you accrue over the 30s.
Very nice.
I gotta find my fucking belt, to be honest with you. Like his last one to see it, and it's either my feet, like Roger's a mess, and my buddy Drago brought me something to put it in, like a what is that thing, the case?
Yeah.
And I get out, and I gotta find that fucking thing. I'm gonna be honest, it's somewhere here, but I'm a mess. I'm not. You guys are so regimented. You know, but listen, we have fun. Hey, Rob, man, thanks for hanging out with us.
Always good talking to you.
Looking forward to you playing you and Adrian. That's fireworks, bro.
Yeah,
man. I'm excited. His kids. He fought the same night Calvin Kattar fought Josh Emmett in Texas, and
he was on fire.
And I see him. He's back. He fought Tony Kelly. It was exciting. They were talking shit the whole time. They're going at it, and he gets in there and he just made it look pretty easy. So like And like you could tell, he was feeling the crowd. It was a fun fight, and you know, I know like he's gonna bring that type of energy. And I think, you know, my job is to kind of like just halt it. Yeah. Just kind of like, and like make him feel like I got to go back to the drawing board. Not necessarily as far as skills, but like just like it just didn't work out that night. You know, I want to put that stamp on him. Kind of like I'll do the meet where it's kind of like, yeah, he's doing his thing, and it just stops, and it's just like, all right. Let's you know, like let's put him in this place, let him, you know what I'm saying, let's remind him and everybody else that I'm still here. A couple of hiccups, but I'm back and I'm ready to go, you know.
Looking good forward buddy. To it, man. Looking
yeah, we'll talk to you up. Soon, man. Maybe before the fight or right after it, but looking forward to it, and you love seem that. Like you're in great spirits. So congratulations again. It's awesome.
Thank you guys. Appreciate you having me on.
Okay, yeah, buddy.
Take care, Rob.
Have a good one, guys.
You too, Rob. I guess that about does it for us too. I mean,
we backed out probably an hour, man.
It's crazy. I feel like we were talking for 15 minutes. Michael, what do you want to promote too? What can we promote for you?
Well, I don't know. I got nothing to promote, man.
Okay.
No, I've been working pretty hard on my fitness app, walkonfit.com, walkon fitness on social medias. So we came out with some training programs. Obviously for the last 10 years, everybody's like, hey, when are you going to start coming out with your fitness programs? Cause obviously, you know, I do a lot of strength and conditioning. I think my career has been prolonged because I've lifted weights and done a lot of cardio in these strength and conditioning workouts for so long. So, walk on fitness. And then, yeah, man, just hopefully get a fight booked here soon and figure out what is next.
You know, we were just talking with Rob Font about like Adrian Yanez and
yep.
And you know, he you know, that Rob's the biggest name that Adrian's going to fight. Right. And the fact of the matter is you're smart, Michael. If not that you're sitting there waiting on the sidelines, but if you could hold out and wait for Connor, you know the deal. anybody you step in there with, it could not be your night, even when it should be your night. That's how dangerous these gentlemen are. You know what I mean? These fighters are. So why not wait a little bit and get that fucking payday and fight Conor and have that fucking fireworks? Why take a chance? Let Bernardo Arnoux fight everybody. No, I'm only kidding. Fighting Gamrot. It's all good. But hey, man. We're going to be watching regardless whoever you fight, but I really do hope you get Conor. I think you deserve that.
If Conor takes you, I respect Conor, but if he accepts a fight with you, I'll have a newfound respect for him if he takes that. I think that's a very tough fight for Conor.
And I was going to ask Michael, I was going to ask you before when Rob came on, you're a classy guy. You like to keep it classy. You're not afraid on the mic. You come across, you have some good... Very, very, very nice when you're almost like the pro wrestling thing comes out of you a little bit. If he gets nasty, if he crosses lines, if he gets yucky, are we staying classy, San Diego, or what are we doing? Have you thought about this much?
I think, I've definitely thought about it. And obviously, I think I'll be an edgy classy. You know, I think I'll keep it somewhat. Yeah, obviously, I'll keep it classy. But also not be afraid to fight fire with fire. You know, you can fight fire with fire without crossing lines or sacrificing your character or saying things that you're going to regret that are going to live on the internet forever. But also dig deep and, throw nice little jabs at him. I think the mic, you know, the trash talk and the mic skills between Conor and I, the banter back and forth, although it may be a little bit cleaner than some of the other guys that he, you know, may have fought before, it'll be equally entertaining. And then obviously when that cage door closes, I think it's the biggest fight we can make.
Yeah.
At 155 or 170, hopefully 170 actually.
You'll take either.
Yeah, definitely. No, I think I would prefer it at 170. You know, I'm sitting over here, you know, it's not easy to make one at 155. Right. You know, I would prefer it at 170 all day long because, you know, Conor and I are very similar size. So why cut the extra weight and go to 155?
That's good. It's not like you're fighting a guy who's walking around you who could fight middleweight and then he's going down to 170.
Right.
You're fighting another guy like yourself who's been living over there at 155 and you both agree to go up. It's a fair thing. You know what I mean?
Good idea. I love the idea.
Michael, thank you, man. Oh, we love having you on. You're such a fun guy to talk to and such a good guest. And can't wait to see you fight again, man. I'm happy you got something that's possible because you're one of my favorite guys.
Well, thank you, guys. I appreciate you. So thank you, and we'll talk soon.
Okay,
thank you, Michael.
And if you're in the city tonight, Matt's wanting to promote. Tonight I'm at the Fat Black Pussycat, 7 o'clock, working out my hour. If anybody wants to come down and see me and go see Matt for a cameo.
Listen. I'm on Cameo. Also, sarahbjj.com. If you're in Long Island, New York, around Huntington area, come down. I'm there all the time. I have a good time. And Jimmy, I will call you in probably 20 minutes to tell you more about my stomach problems, okay?
I would love to hear more.
Jimmy, I'll see you in a couple days. Bye, everybody.
Yeah, bye.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.